Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Financial Times. Adora?
John, now Peter Morici is going to join us in this conversation. He's an economist and business professor at the University of Maryland. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning.
So clearly, this latest plan to inject $250 billion into the banking system has enormous implications for the ways that banks are run. Do you think the government should start by firing all of the heads of those companies?
Piano, as they say in Italy, easy, easy, easy. My feeling is that, first of all, it doesn't have the sweeping consequences that have been advertised. Probably it's the shareholders that will lose the most. I mean, Chuck Schumer had an article this morning in the Wall Street Journal. He said, well, it's the shareholders that we need to make sure that dividends are cut and things like that. He didn't talk a lot about compensation, and he needs to. The bailout bill provides for equity participation, but it has very weak compensation restrictions. Very weak, very limited. The government's going to have to throw its weight around more than rely on the law to get that done. Remember, you were talking to a British commentator. They're buying common shares over there. They are taking over the banks. We're not. We're putting in equity capital. We're putting in preferred shares, which is very different.
So at the end of the day, you don't agree with Jamie Chisholm, who we just spoke to from the Financial Times, who says essentially the public, now that we are all involved, taxpayers that is, will be demanding that banks act differently.
You can demand all you want, ma'am. If you don't own the bank, you don't own the bank. We don't have common shares in the bank. You have to say who's going to be do the demanding on your part. I mean, if you're going to count on the Senate Banking Committee, you better think again, given their role in getting us into this trouble in the first place. The way this thing is set up, I wouldn't be surprised if Vikram Pandit has the same salary a month from now and the same bonuses that he had 2 months ago.
It's 12 minutes into the show, and you've mentioned Vikram Pandit. Peter, I just want to note that for our listeners. You don't have confidence in the Senate Banking Committee, and I can sort of understand.
I don't mean to single him out. We could single out John Thain or anyone else. What I'm saying is I don't believe the CEO's compensation structures will change very much. More importantly, their officers, the people further down in the ranks. This does not end the performance pay system that encourages such high risk. And when the banks are in so much trouble and they have incentives in this deal, as has been reported, to buy back their capital on favorable terms within 5 years, we may be encouraging them to take more high risk.
All right, well, then describe for me the difference between this American plan and the British plan, because yesterday we already heard that one bank president was shown the door and that there was a 60% ownership stake on the part of the British government of one bank, so they actually do own the bank. How is it different with this plan?
They're nationalizing the banks. That's very different. I mean, they're buying common shares, taking controlling interests of principal banks. We're not going to do that, nor should we. The history of state ownership of enterprises is not a favorable one. What I would be in favor of doing is we certainly buy the equity shares and we buy the preferred shares, but we tell them not that we expect them to cut dividends, because that's most of us. That's basically a tax on all of us. Rather, they may choose to do that, but rather that they reform their compensation structures to bring them in line with their industrial counterparts so that they're more reasonable and that they really get rid of this performance-based incentive structure and they do it wholly, pull it out by the roots, and get back to the kind of incentive structure they had 10 years ago.
Peter, I want you to listen to what Interim Assistant Treasury Secretary Neel Kashkari said yesterday at a press conference.
Regulators are helping us to identify the quickest and most efficient method to purchase equity in financial institutions so they can resume lending.
So when you hear that, what does that mean to you?
Not much. The basic problem in resuming lending is that the regional banks don't have adequate funds. And the reason they don't have adequate funds is they don't just make you loans against deposits. They also make loans by selling their loans to the New York banks, who would bundle them into bonds, securitize them, and sell them to fixed income investors. And that is a model of banking we desperately need, because we don't want the banks merely loaning on deposits. That puts them in a position of lending long and borrowing in short, which is how we got the savings and loan crisis. But the New York banks don't find that profitable. with their present compensation scheme, if they're just doing that with plain vanilla bonds, as we call them, and that is bonds that are based on good, solid loans. The thing that made the subprime business attracted to them was the ability to write derivatives on top of the derivatives. There are four times as many credit default swaps outstanding as there are mortgages in the United States, which is an absurd situation. Without a reform in what the bankers are paid so they don't have to generate such large margins in their credit business, we're simply not going to get a return to the volume of lending that is necessary to keep the economy going. And here I'm not talking about Americans living beyond their means. I'm talking about the normal processes of department stores, for example, getting lines of credit to buy goods for the Christmas season, or businesses getting lines of credit to pay for materials while they're making goods for orders in process and things of that nature.
So just very quickly, Peter, so given all of those concerns you just listed, do you think that these rallies we've seen in the Asian markets and here in the U.S. are not going to keep going?
You know, ma'am, if I could call the stock market, I wouldn't be speaking to you from Alexandria, Virginia. It would be some warm beach in the Bahamas. I don't pretend to be any better than anyone else. My comparative advantage, I think, is in pointing out the conflicts of interest that I see in this mess. But in any case, I don't know. I am hopeful that once Obama gets his hands on the presidency, that he might take a clearer look at this than Senator Schumer has, which disturbs me no end. He's so enthusiastic about giving these guys cash, but I haven't heard him talk about taking back the money they're putting in their pockets.
So you've called the presidency and talked about Vikram Handit of Citicorp. Thank you, Peter Morici.
Peter Morici is an economist and business professor at the University of Maryland.